didn't.
On this tape, Marvin Long goes into more detail on some of the points touched on in the first interview. These include operation of the brick factory that where the bricks were made that rebuilt Kendrick, the Kendrick fire, the grain tramway, ice cutting in the winter, and the move that Long's made down to Kendrick from the Cedar Creek country.
Were you here when the Kendrick when the 1904 fire happened in Kendrick?
No, I was living up here on the Potlatch Ridge, and we saw the smoke from that coming out of the canyon, and the brother and I had...
Was that during the daytime?
Yeah. My brother and I, the next day, had to come down to Kendrick to see the ruins, and it was still smoldering, the whole canyon, everything was burnt. All the business district was burnt out. There wasn't a place to even buy a loaf of bread. Every business. And is this being taken?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, and that night, that day, and that, you know, the next day, there was an ordinance passed that, you know, every building on Main Street had to be fireproof.
Mm-hmm.
Which is the reason now that Main Street is still a fireproof district.
Did they ever find out how that fire started?
Whoa, not exactly. Anyway, it was wrong about noon, you know, middle of the day, the hottest time of summer. Not sure. They didn't know how it started.
I bet there were a lot of stories about how it started. Didn't anybody have their own idea about how the...
I don't know. There's many fires in days. There's much trash around. They didn't keep things cleaned up like they did now. It could have started most... You know, there could have been a lot of... It could have been combustion, or it could have been set by cigarettes or something. They always roll their own. But there's never any answer for it, that I remember.
Well, Kendrick burned twice, didn't it? Or was it just the once?
Had fires here at different times, but that was the only time I remember of it burning down entirely.
Did a lot of the...
I mean the business part of town, right. Entirely. There was nothing left.
Did it get it against the residential section?
No, it didn't get any threat. Well, there might have been one or two. No, these are old buildings down here, if you look at the construction. And, well, I guess the worst. And you can tell on the other side where the park is there. There's one brick new house been built there, and the other is the old, next house is the old wooden house. You can, I guess on that side of the street it must have worked down further because it was a brick.
On the south side of the street?
Yeah. Okay.
And they passed that ordinance the...
That night it was passed the city council. That hungover was back.
How did they fight that fire?
Didn't fight it, it burned. Didn't save anything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, hauled, I guess, some stuff out. A lot of the stuff they hauled out, many of us were, you know, it just took everything.
Was there a fire company in Kendrick then? Like a pumper wagon?
No. Just a water brigade, I imagine. There wasn't any water. Wells and cisterns, and there was no water. Nothing to fight the fire with. Didn't like a reservoir there, no. Tremendous pressure here. All kinds of water. I imagine some of these guys are... These, what do you call them? wagons would like to have some more pressure sometime.
Mm-hmm. Well, so I guess after that, that brick mill that was here was pretty busy then, wasn't it?
Well, they couldn't keep up with the orders, and the white brick that's here in town was shipped in. I told you, was shipped in before then.
Mm-hmm.
But then, what? It sold off at that time, all it produced here.
How does the brick mill work, the brick factory?
Oh, that's a watching enough time. No, they got the clay down up there on the hill, like Jerry Wade picked out, and it was they just dumped it into the chutes, and it went down to the brickyard, and then it was mixed.
Pressed. They have a big oven, too?
They had a kiln where they had these fabric. But I don't think they need fabric here. They shipped them in. These white brick here is what you call them.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you call your bar. Mm-hmm. Where they're light colored. I think all they ever made here was these red bricks.
Didn't they bake those in the kiln, too?
Which?
The red brick?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I mean, they wasn't made here. These buildings, it's made out of different colored brick downtown, which is down there, people can see. The main one is this Fraternal Temple building. Well, they couldn't get enough brick here, so they shipped them in from Spokane, freight.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we got the two colors of brick.
Mm-hmm.
See, them light colors were shipped in from Spokane.
Mm-hmm.
And all these red brick were local, made up here. They couldn't make them fast enough.
Well, the clay was dug out of a dry pit?
Yeah, it's a pit. I could take you. Sure, you where they come from, right up here on the hill.
Right. Then it was dumped in. See, when thinking about it, it's usually.
It wouldn't be a brick. It wouldn't have been a brick mill here if there wasn't clay. It wouldn't have been there.
Well, usually a clay pit has. It's a big. The ones I see use are a big water hole. You know. And they use a Fresno to scoop the clay off the side and work out that way. So, but how was it
done? They scooped this. They did it with scoops. They had horses then, and they did it the same way. But they put it in this chute and shot it down instead of hauling it. They shot it down to the brickyard where they pressed it. Mixed it down.
When it was shooting down, was it the powder or
no,
like the rocks
clay.
Rolling down
it's
the clay?
It's a clay.
Mm-hmm. Was it wet then?
Oh, it's just like come out of the ground. It was wet afterwards.
Uh-huh.
That's pretty well, that's about 13, 14 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember all about it, but I didn't sense the details of it.
How long did it take him to build this helmet up here?
Build it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it was awful fast. They started in. Of course, they were drilling here for a year or two afterwards. It went up awful fast.
Mm-hmm. Well, like you said, you couldn't get. There's no place in that day to buy a loaf of bread or anything. How do people usually shop in Kentwick? What do they do?
What they do?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess they made some bread and I got some. I guess they done the best they could. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the whole town wasn't burned up, you know. Mm-hmm. Families were all here and they had supplies, you know. They could do that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they got them in. They were doing business here about the next day and dancing and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not the next day, just a day or two, they were doing business down here. You know. Come down here, it was still smaller, and there was someone doing business then.
Just by putting up tents in the old locations, or do they build a separate little tent town, or what?
Well, it is first, you know, until they got something built by them, I guess. But I don't remember too much of the detail of that, but I know they've done business in tents here until they got something. Or they buildings went up awful fast, you know.
Okay. that idea of the way the clay came down the chute reminded me of that tram.
That tram, the grain comes slashes on these carriers, and these pressures, the gravity, of course, is what took it down. If they had too much gravity, they had to break up the top. There was nothing to go back, so you think.
Well, how do they get it back up again?
Which?
The carrier.
It'd go back up. It'd carry itself. It'd be empty. See? The weight coming down would bring it back up. It'd
right.
go around.
Right.
And they had to break this going down some years. And in them days, they had a hand brake. They used hand brakes. The man had to be right there all the time.
What were the brakes? Was it like a big drum?
I imagine, you forget, I was just a kid. But that's how they did it. I could see them there breaking when it was coming down, when it was loading.
Was the brakeman on top or on bottom?
He was at the top.
And this was
the bottom was taking them off.
Uh-huh. See. How long would it take him to unload the car? Would it pause very long?
Well, it didn't. Google cars, the sacks just kept coming. You had to keep that running until they run out. They could stop at night, so it was gravity proposition. Could run just long as the sacks put on there.
Well, what was how far apart were the carriers on the?
I couldn't tell. About 50 feet, maybe. Maybe not that much. So you have any idea?
No, I've never saw
that.
Is that picture show?
What?
Is that picture on that truck show?
It doesn't show. There must be one sack after another coming down?
Yeah. If they put it on, they break it up there. Now, if they wanted to take, sometimes they would take feet and seat back. And if it weighed as much, you see, they didn't have to break so much because the weight.
Uh-huh.
The one sack would take the one sack back up.
Right.
But it wouldn't. But it wouldn't. That's the way they set stuff back up on top. These farmers always set stuff
it
back up.
And that one worked on a big long cable?
Yeah. The break up there at the top.
It's
a gravity deal.
And how long did that thing work? How long did that last? How long were they using that?
I can tell you exactly when it went off. Then it went off to see horse and buggy days. When cars come in, trucks come in.
And when they got to the bottom of the tram, they had one guy there loading, or a couple guys unloading, or how many?
Well, just took one guy to take it off, and one guy to put it on.
So the one
guy had to up on top, had to bring it to him, chuck it to him.
Right.
He couldn't.
And when the guy at the bottom took it off, where did it go from there?
It went into the piles.
Mm-hmm.
So there's up above, you see, his shop down there. His warehouse is putting piles. Hand trucks and all that.
Right. Did you ever go for a ride when you were a kid on that tram?
I never wanted to. Nobody else did. Pretty risky deal. They wouldn't let you on. If you want to go, they couldn't get on. I don't think men ever went on. I never rode.
Do you know if that thing ever got away from them? Is the brake ever broke or anything?
I can't remember. But they had one at Julietta. Went into Julietta. It was a flat car. You heard of that one. Probably seen the pictures of it.
Did you ever ride that one with flat cars?
No, the guys did.
Yeah.
These guys, living in the Chauffeur's.
You were telling me before about when you had the meat market and your ice cutting operation.
Yeah, that's the story about that is, every year we was in business when we put up ice on the creek. And there was only, during that time, there was only one winter that we had to ship our ice in out of all the years. And afterwards, it never been a winter that you could have cut ice after refrigeration come in. That seems like a, it don't seem, is it a coincidence or an act of nature or what?
I'll
figure it out.
I don't know.
I say, but isn't that quite a coincidence?
Right.
To hook up to?
Well, how many years did you cut ice out there?
Well, we never started cutting ice down here yet. We came 1908. And when did we quit? About 1901, wasn't it? About 19, wasn't it? 20, I don't know.
What was the ice thing like? What did you have to do to cut ice?
Well, I was going to tell you. There was big holes on Potlatch Creek here. And that's what now is filled up with rock. There's one over here we call the old swimming hole, over here by the warehouse, back there against the wall. And that's where we used to get our ice. And I think all during that time, it was just that one winter we had to ship in ice from Spokane.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not Chisholm, not. It's one of them lakes up there from Spokane. Coca-Cola.
Did you go out in the winter and saw blocks off, or what? How did the work come? How did you do it?
You saw this when it was freezing weather, and you put it in the ice house in one big, you put the cakes up, you know, these cakes of ice, and
they
were packed in there.
But how big was each cake?
Oh, they were 80 to 100 pounds, something like that. Some bigger than them. Some of how thick the ice was. Some of them got pretty heavy. They would solid pack this ice and all around the edges. It'd be placed about that thick in the wall that kept
about
the air out.
About 2 feet thick?
With sawdust.
About 2 feet thick?
Yeah, oh, maybe a foot and a half, 2 feet down. But that's what kept the ice from all melting. It melted. There's an awful percentage of waste of shrinkage in from the ice. Mm-hmm. Even at that, no matter how well you pack it around, you had to open it up. That's where every day to get your ice out, you had to get that. You cut some of those down and put the ice out, of course. That's your exposure to air.
Well, how much ice did you have to cut for 1 year?
Well, I don't know how you estimate it in, but it did probably be, I imagine, 75 or 100 tons, maybe. Mm-hmm. We're quite a stack.
Mm-hmm. How big a stack was it?
Well, it's building, I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't know if I check it. 34 feet in there.
Mm-hmm.
I got it.
Well, did you go out and cut ice with your father quite a bit?
No, we had crews, men to do it. Mm-hmm. I didn't. I was farmed out. I was at too many.
Mm-hmm.
At circus. Boy, there was four of us boys then, and I was farmed out.
Mm-hmm.
At 19. Dad farmed me out in 1910, and I come back into business in 1920. I was working for the other guy on my hot thing. Instead of spawn meat and grocery, I was more than dragons.
Mm-hmm.
General merchandise for
what store was this here?
Well, not in Kendrick. I worked down in Oregon. I still worked in 1920. I was working in Oregon.
Mm-hmm. what was the story Henry Carroll was doing?
Henry? Well, before I went down there, I used to work for you. Fellow named Fred Beckwith, and then he worked a year for him, and he sold out Kendrick Store Company.
Well,
and I worked for them for... How long was I worked for them? A couple of years, I guess. And I went to school. Believe it or not. And then I cracked all the time to go to school.
Mm-hmm. That must have kept you pretty busy.
Yeah. For that, I worked in the drugstore and I had to work Saturdays and Sundays. So I give you a full-time job. Afternoon, 4 o'clock, mm-hmm. Starts 3.
Yeah. How about the trip down for the... Crescent. From Crescent to Leland. Do you remember anything about that?
Well, I was telling you, I remembered, all I remember is when I had all the furniture in this wagon. Our supplies, whatever we had, I guess, trunks and things, mostly trunks and boxes of stuff. And Tom, my older brother, was sitting on a trunk in the back end of the wagon. Holding me. And all I remember that trip all coming down there, buddy. I don't know how many miles, but all I remember is when we landed down there at this place and this old crippled guy and his mother, an old, little old gray headed woman. That's all I remember. That deal. That's the first thing I remember. I don't remember one thing that went on out on the Cedar Creek. Isn't that funny?
Well, that, was that quite a difference for you, moving from the...
Daylight to dark. I was in the timber. I hadn't seen daylight yet. So when I got out in these open spaces, and of course, that's the first child, I imagine, that's quite an impression.
Also, that when you were about 11 or 12, you used to have a job buckling skates?
Buckling skates, yeah, at this skating rink.
Mm-hmm.
So I was telling you, I told you about that before.
Well, tell me again.
Well, they had this skating rink, and then you had to pay so much. I don't know what, anyway. My brother and I, we buckled skates to get free skating. That's the pay we got.
Mm-hmm. How long would you have to work?
Well, we had to work in the evening, which about an hour, I imagine. Mm-hmm.
And get skate for
how long
you want?
Yeah, up to like 25. You get skate all you wanted to, you know, that was exercise.
Did the skating rings have music in them like they have that, like the organist or something?
Well, some of them did and some of them didn't move. I don't know if they had already, what did they call those? Didn't need any much music noise. There's a lot of noise to skating rink. I don't think we had music.
These were covered over?
What?
These were inside?
They're generally vacant store building. The one that last skating rink was down here in this two-story building right down here on the corner of that bridge. Light bit, you know, lodge on the phone. What is that? We skated down there in the bottom of that. It was an empty store building that time. That was built for a store building. In fact, the last thing was in there is a grocery store. That's only been out a couple of years, hasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
2 or 3 years.
chickens and geese and ducks and fool things. And I'd help take care of them to start off with, and after that, do that. She had to look after them herself until I got home again. And she was afraid I'd get lost. Well, I says, I won't get lost. I says, I've known these woods ever since I was born, but now I don't know why you expect me to get lost. Because I'm not very easily turned around if I do sit and stuff. If I don't come out one place, I can come out mighty close to it. Especially if it's an old barren often, or a cougar. And so I went on my huckleberry picking. And let's see. I think I got 41 gallons out of that place. And sold practically all of them. $1 a gallon.
$1 a gallon.
Well, if it was worth that, or if it was worth anything after you bent over all day in the house and picking dirt.
Right.
I thought to myself they could give me what I asked for them, or they could go without. And what's more, I wasn't going to tell them they wanted to know where my patch was. Well, I says, that's my secret. They didn't tell me then until I got all the berries on. After I had, I told them where it was.
Yeah.
I even took Mrs. Hamlin during the last afternoon that I expected to use a patch. I told her she'd meet me down on the meadow, Bob Clyde's meadow, as they call it.
Mm-hmm.
I'd take her, show her where the huckleberries were, and she'd pick what she pleased me and what she pleased. I had all I wanted. Wasn't that selfish? But I worked hard for those berries and I intended to have them.
Did you do your own sewing those days?
Yeah. Arthritis in my hands were kind of... I used to do quite a bit of fancy work too, but fingers got... They're kind of better now.
Did you have a big garden?
Pretty good size.
Could you raise everything up there? That's a
almost
little
everything.
Bad to freeze up there.
Well, we'd have to kind of look out. It'd come along real nice maybe for a week or so. And the next thing you know, you had a big frost and your garden looked kind of limp. But it got along pretty well with it. Pretty good garden.
It's now 1973, and Larry French told me night before last that they had a frost and it got down to 30.
I don't know what it got down to, but they had a frost. It froze a little ice. That is frosty ice.
Mm-hmm.
And this is July 8th.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that something to have? So that would be July 5th. They had it down to 30.
You didn't expect anything in this part of the country. Near.
Did you have fruit trees?
Well, we had a few apple trees. And
what kind of apples could you grow?
Just an ordinary apple.
Summer transparents or winter apples?
Well, we had one brand that was winter apples, but it didn't do so well, because generally about the time they should be getting ripe and nice and warm, come a frost, and we wouldn't have any apples to mount anything. But once in a while, we got a good layout.
Did you ever have trouble up there with bears in your apple trees, or bears in your chickens? Or other animals in your chickens?
Yeah, we'd see a bear now and then wandering around. We left them alone. They left us alone pretty well. We had pretty good dogs. The dogs didn't particularly like the bear, but they'd bark, and that'd give the bear a warning that they better get out of the way. And did you know that the professor, this Professor Muirman, he's used to Boston Moscow Schools. My mother taught 1 year under him.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted her to, he says, I want you to take that seventh grade. And she says, well, I don't like teaching down. Well, she says, I want you to this time, whether you like it or not. She says, there's a little girl in there, I'm bound to make her learn how to spell, if it's possible.
Mm-hmm.
And how to spell and leave off making spitballs. And he says, you're the only teacher I know that could do it. Who says, maybe I can do it, but I don't like the job.